I saw a listing the other day for a cozy mobile studio with panoramic views and integrated climate control. And it turned out to be a 2012 Honda Civic with a cracked windshield and a damp sleeping bag in the back. The asking price? Well, just a few bucks and a gym membership, so you can shower once a week without the police getting involved, and maybe your pride or your dignity. So we're told that the economy is resilient. That's a fun word, isn't it? Resilient. It's the kind of word that a doctor might use right before he tells you that while your arteries are almost completely clogged, your hair looks remarkably shiny. And meanwhile, back in the world where people actually eat and sleep, the cost of groceries has done a 25% vertical climb since 2020. Housing costs have jumped almost 50%. Rent is now officially considered unaffordable in nearly every county in the country. And when I say unaffordable, I don't mean I have to skip the avocado toast unaffordable. I mean I have to choose between a roof and internal organs unaffordable. Here's the thing. We aren't downsizing anymore. That's just a lie told to us by minimalist influencers with a $4,000 espresso machine. We're becoming something like economic ghosts in our own neighborhoods. A slow motion eviction from the so-called middle class. So, as I speak, there are nearly 2 million Americans now living in vehicles. And that number has tripled in the last 7 years. That's not just a trend or a quirky TikTok aesthetic with fairy lights and a sourdough starter. That's a legitimate mass migration. People aren't hitting the road because they've suddenly developed some deep spiritual longing for the asphalt of an Interstate 80 rest stop or something. They're doing it because the system, that great creaking, dysfunctional machine that we were all told to feed with our youth and our taxes, that just stopped reciprocating. And this is a soft collapse. There's no explosions or cinematic wasteland. Well, maybe there's some cinematic wasteland. It's just someone who's accepted that he can't afford a 400 square foot box in a city that's becoming dystopian. So he consolidates and moves into his vehicle. But nonetheless, there still seems to be this general denial of the fact that nomad life isn't really about running away to escape reality. It's more accurately a contingency plan for the collapse. It's really about cutting the anchor before the ship finally drags you into the deep end of the wealth divide. I would say this is a movement of the non-participants. These people aren't actually lost. Because, by and large, they're people who finally realized that if the game is rigged, the only way to win is to just stop playing. So you can call it homelessness if it makes the statistics easier to digest, but the reality is they're just unsubscribing from the system. And frankly, when you look at the terms of service for the modern world, who wouldn't want to hit the cancel button? Okay. So if you feel like the floor is falling out from under you, that's just because you're paying attention. You're basically watching this new America being built on wheels, one parking lot at a time. So think of it as a transition era. And yeah, it's probably not sustainable in this form, and it's probably going to get ugly. But, and I say this with the cautious optimism of a man watching a house on fire and realizing he won't have to mow the lawn anymore, maybe there's actually a silver lining here. Because we've spent the last, 80 years or so building a society based on the idea that more is better. More debt, more space, more cheap plastic junk shipped from overseas to fill the rooms that we're too tired to sit in because we're working three jobs to pay for the rooms. It's just a feedback loop of misery at this point. So the system that's currently dying a slow death is really just a toxic machine that's designed to turn human potential into shareholder dividends. It's built on the backs of people who are really just one car repair away from total ruin. So when that system starts to crack, maybe it opens a door to something more honest and authentic. Think about it. When you're living out of a van, you can't hide behind stuff anymore. You're forced back into a kind of truer independence. As scary and as difficult as it may be. So you have to learn to fix things yourself. You have to find your own water. Hopefully you can find a community of other unsubscribed souls who understand that growing your own tomatoes is probably worth more than a blue check mark on a dying media, social media platform. It's really a return to simpler times, but just with better GPS. So it looks kind of like moving back toward small functional communities that rely on do-it-yourself values instead of corporate subsidies. And yeah, it's gritty. It's gallows humor territory, but also I think there's a strange kind of peace in knowing exactly where you stand, even if where you're standing is a Walmart parking lot at 3 a.m. You know, at this point, we've been living in a curated hallucination for a pretty long time. And we're told that if you check the right boxes, you know, get the degree, sign the 30-year debt sentence, that you'll be safe. But Unfortunately, the math has stopped mathing, because it seems that the toxic machinations of the system aren't just about money and wealth anymore. They're about the soul. We have turned everything into a commodity, including our time and attention, and we're working ourselves into an early grave to buy shit that makes us feel slightly less miserable about the fact that we're working ourselves into an early grave. It's the old snake eating its tail. And that snake is starting to look a little depleted at this point. And then there's the gaslighting. Oh yeah, the gaslighting is top tier. So you're told that the economy is booming because the stock market, which is basically just a graph for rich people's feelings, is up. And meanwhile, you're at the grocery store staring at a carton of eggs like it's fine jewelry. Oh, and then you're told to just hustle harder, as if the laws of physics don't apply and you can somehow outrun 50% rent hikes by selling clothes on an app that takes a 20% cut. Now, you've heard this before, but it bears repeating. The system isn't actually broken. It's working exactly as intended. It's a giant vacuum designed to suck up every last drop of human effort and consolidate it at the top. But a vacuum eventually runs out of dust. And when you acknowledge that almost 2 million people are living in vehicles, not only are you seeing the failure of the so-called American dream, you're looking at the aftermath of what I would call a giant, massive heist. We are the ones left in the empty vault, trying to figure out if we can make a bed out of all these discarded deposit slips. I mean, at this point, it's all just tragicomedy, because we're paying premium rates for a view that doesn't include a dirty alley or a dumpster. Success is now measured by how separated you are from your own byproduct. And on top of this, we're so isolated now, we have to hire professionals to listen to us talk about how our loneliness hurts. Okay. So where's the exit? Because staying in a burning building and arguing about the color of the drapes isn't exactly a master class of self-preservation. At this point, the collapse is almost certainly inevitable, and I'd say it's even necessary, because you can't build something honest on a foundation of lies and high interest credit and expect anybody but the rich to benefit from this. So if the system is a dying animal, maybe the kindest thing we can do here is just let it go and start looking at what comes next, whatever that might be. And the silver lining, it isn't a return to some golden age that never really existed. It's a return to reality. When you're stripped of all the fluff and the performative consumption, the all the status symbols, the 2,000 square feet of drywall, you're really just left with what I call the three C's. Community, competence, and character. Things or qualities that are definitely suffering under the current system. So, how do we actually survive this transition without completely losing our minds? I think it has to start with a kind of mental decolonization. You have to stop measuring your worth by the metrics of a machine that's currently just grinding you into dust. If you can't afford a house, chances are it's not a character flaw or personal failure. It's a structural one. It's widespread corruption on various levels. And once you stop feeling the shame of not winning in a rigged game, you realize the game doesn't actually have any power over you. It's like the ultimate mental prison break. And from there, maybe you start looking at your own hands. You know, we've been conditioned to be helpless to varying degrees. And to call a professional for every minor inconvenience. But there's a deep primal dignity in radical self-reliance. And it doesn't always have to be about isolating yourself and building a bunker and hoarding it with supplies. It's just about knowing how to do things again that we used to know how to do. Like, you know, fixing the alternator. Or patching your own jeans, or, you know, maybe growing a tomato in a bucket or something. Every skill that you reclaim is a middle finger to a system that needs you to be a perpetual consumer, just to function. And I think this can lead to a new sense of smaller, self-sufficient communities. You can see this already happening in some of the nomad groups and the people living on the margins. They aren't really isolated. They're hyper-local. They meet up sometimes to trade tools or share skills and actually look out for each other. This looks like a more truer kind of independence because it's built on mutual aid rather than a soulless digital transaction. And when corporate crony capitalism stops pretending to give a shit about you, you find out who your neighbors actually are. So this is ultimately about embracing the unplugged reality. It's where you lower the overhead of your life until the system loses its leverage. Because if you don't need much, they can't threaten you with much. And there's a terrifying but beautiful kind of freedom and having nothing left to lose. So in a sense, you're not falling. You're just descending at a controlled rate while everybody else is still trying to figure out why the elevator buttons aren't working. And this isn't the end of the world. It's just the end of this world. You know, this is the one where we're all just basically cogs. And this new independent and nomadic American demographic, well, it's gritty. It's inconvenient in a lot of ways, and it's definitely not for everyone. But it is honest. And you know, after living in a world for so long that's just been lying to us for decades, honesty is really the only currency that's actually going up in value. Look, the architects of this whole mess, they want you to think that the walls are closing in. But walls only matter if you're still trying to stay inside the building. And, you know, once the foundation has mostly become termites and debt, I think the smartest move here is probably isn't to renovate. It's to just leave. So from a certain perspective, maybe we aren't witnessing a tragedy. We're witnessing a mass desertion. And we're finally waking up to the fact that trading 40 or 50 years of sunlight for a zip code that you can't really afford was probably a very bad deal from the start. So, if you're out there on the shoulder of the highway or wherever, just staring at the moon from the front seat of a van, maybe you're not a casualty. You're an escapee, because when this ship finally goes down, the people, you know, the people in the rafts aren't displaced. They're just the ones who realized that the anchor isn't part of the soul, and they chose not to sink with the weight of it. All right, that's all I've got today. As always, thanks for listening.